Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Knicks now are up 2-0 over the impossible Celtics, and all the doubts about what the Knicks did in the regular season and their lack of heart or lack of toughness, all that stuff should be out the window at this point.
I am enjoying this. I'm absolutely stunned. But for me, now this is a little personal here for me, so I'm being a little selfish. For me to truly enjoy this the way that I need to, I've got to have a cathartic moment. I've got to. And I've got to be accountable because I'm carrying around some Nick guilt, man, and it's heavy. I focused on the wrong thing with this team. I focused on the wrong thing, and I wasn't alone. Like, you guys could hide, oh, yeah, I thought the Knicks would. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Nobody really did because they didn't really provide the evidence from a basketball perspective that this team could mess around and win this series and maybe win a championship. What I just glossed over, what I understated, what I overlooked was the thing that I've always loved about the Knicks, heart. Like, if you go back to your early, and for, you know, we're pretty much similar ages here. Obviously, I saw Bernard, you didn't, but that's it. Like, the Knicks were always rooted in heart. So not only are they winning these games, dude, but they're winning them with a characteristic that I didn't think that they possessed. And, yeah, I mean, they save it for the end, and you keep doing this, you're going to get burned. But, you know, whether it's an L-chain from the afternoon show, I got no problem hanging that around my neck for a little bit. I completely looked at this team and said, they don't have the soul. They don't have the heart to do this. Now, I was wrong.
Well, to me, they're winning with talent. I don't think it's about I never doubted
when you're down by 20 points. Yeah, no, it's, I think it's both.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
mean, they're shooting 41% every game. They're getting out-rebounded every game. They're shooting 25% from three. They're not even playing well.
Also, these two games cannot be the norm.
It's just
not sustainable. So we're reacting to something that is completely abnormal. I mean, forget what you thought about the Knicks or what I thought about the Knicks or anybody else. Did anybody in the world think Jason Tatum would play the way he has in the first two games?
No, it's been staggeringly bad.
So he was clearly the best player coming into the series, and he has clearly been the worst player in this series, expectation versus result. So that, to me, is the biggest factor here. The Celtics shooting the ball the way that they have twice. The Celtics go up 20 points in these games on a way to a rout of the Knicks, and yet the Knicks come back and win both those games. So there are different things to dissect from that. You and I had fundamental disagreements about this team because you wanted to judge them on the regular season and said that they didn't have heart or toughness that the team with DiVincenzo and Hartenstein had.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I wanted to reserve judgment because they were never fully healthy. You saw the difference last night Mitchell Robinson did what Mitchell Robinson did against the Sixers a year ago.
Yeah.
That was the Mitchell Robinson that I preferred to have over Hartenstein. It was nice to see him show up to a point where the foul trouble wasn't even a big issue. It was all the other things that he brought to the table. But I needed to see this team, A, fully healthy, and B, what they could do in the postseason. Some of their heart, BT, it wasn't all DiVincenzo and Hartenstein. Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, these are guys that you were criticizing in the first round that still played with a toughness and heart. Towns, the idea of him being soft, like, we needed to see him. I don't think he's soft. I don't think he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a very highly skilled big man as far as the shot goes. But as far as his moves in the low post, like, there's still question marks about this team. So I think it's fair to question things about the Knicks. I didn't understand the questions about the toughness or the heart throughout the course of a meaningless regular season.
But it's not meaningless. Listen, I've always said, to me, now it depends on the year, depends on the team, depends on the situation, obviously. But it's usually, I look at like 7 to 10 games each year. You know, whether it was the Warriors when they were trying to crack through, or LeBron trying to crack through, or our Knicks trying to crack through. I think there's basically 7 to 10 measuring stick barometer type games that you need to watch. Like,
right.
I get it. Not everybody's watching every second of all the 82. You're not going to watch the Hornets game, or you're not going to stay up late to watch them against a bad West Coast team. Well, geez, life gets in the way. But there are certain games you got to watch. And the games that I thought, and we all thought, that was going to really define them based on who they might play at this point of the season, which is really what's going to shape who they are and how they're defined, they didn't beat them once.
Right.
So, but the focus for me there, and it was partly attributable to matchup stuff, and these teams are a little bit better, whatever. But I don't know that I don't know that I've ever seen a team play so sporadically good. Like, they've been, in a lot of ways, they've been bad. Shot 42% the first game. They missed 17 out of 31 free throws. They were minus 10 rebound. That's not a good game.
Still haven't played a good game. Up 2-0, still haven't played a good game.
I know. Last night's out, they shoot 43%. They're 29% on threes. They get out-rebounded again. They're down by 20-plus points. They're down by whatever it was, 16, I don't know, 14, with 8 minutes to go, and then they don't score a field goal. Like, we could try to define this. We really could.
Right.
We could try to define this. But at the end of the day, we can't, because I don't know, you know, whether it's Eli's improbable runs with the Giants or some other wacky situations. Usually when a New York team is crowned a champion, and we're still many steps from that, the 86 Mets, dominant. Most of the Yankee teams, dominant. The Isles of the dominant dynasty. The Rangers were awesome in 94, talent from A to Z. We don't get this script. This is the most, maybe the 69 Mets. This is the most improbable run to where we are from where I thought they'd be. And I just didn't think they could do it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Big picture.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, but they haven't done anything yet.
Oh, they're going to win the series. They're going to win the series.
See, this is where, though, I have a tough time, because it's like, I'd rather not do big picture and just focus on the actual series. It's round two.
I'm not talking about the finals. I'm saying this series.
I understand it. It's round two. They still have not played a great game. Like, my whole thought process throughout the whole season was, I'm not putting a ceiling on this team or a cap on this team's ceiling because of the talent. That is why I'd make that trade every single time, the Bridges trade and the Towns trade. It's not about, well, Bridges made a great defensive play. And by the way, can Bridges actually hit a shot in the first three quarters? Like, would that kill him?
Could he take a shot? He barely did. He was like 0 for 9, at one point. 1 for 9.
The other day he's 3 for 13. Yesterday he's 0 for whatever it was, the exact numbers. Didn't hit a shot until didn't score a point.
Can't keep winning like that.
Okay, so that's my point, that it. You want to explain how the Knicks won the first two games? To me, it's because the Celtics haven't made a shot. You've seen the formula. You've seen the recipe. Celtics get up huge. They continue to chuck threes, even open threes, and they're off. Psychologically, I think the Knicks have the Celtics beat right now. Yep. Psychologically, that's where I trust the Knicks. If those shots start to fall, if the Celtics get off the mat and win game three, you obviously don't want to go, from the Celtics' perspective, if they go down 0-3, you would think that it's over. But if they win game three, all of a sudden everything flips, and it's just about their. Look, they come down, miss a three, one and out. Knicks grab the rebound, come back down. Mikal Bridges all of a sudden catches fire. That's how they get back in the game. And then a tight game, the Knicks got the Celtics on the ropes. Like, they're toast in those situations. The Knicks close much better than the Celtics have. So those are the reasons for the first two games. But why does it have to be now a complete flip to say, well, they're going to win this series, or now there is no ceiling? There shouldn't have been a ceiling to begin with because of the talent that they have.
But that, again, that's just a fundamental disagreement. I've got to react to what I see.
Right.
I've got to react to what I see. And, you know, eventually we've got to get past the point of 0-10 against the
Thunder. I mean, that's over.
It's over, yeah. But that's what shaped all of my opinions. And I'm okay with that. Like, I watch every Knick game. I'm fine with this. I'm fine with saying, wow, they're more than I thought. Wow, they are different than I thought.
Guess that's what I'm curious, what is different?
Their toughness. The Pistons, I didn't think they had this layer of toughness.
But they still haven't played a good game against Baltimore.
Like, but they played tough. They played tough against the Pistons, who wanted to make it into a street fight. And I didn't think that individually, outside of like Hart and one or two other guys, I didn't think individually they were ready for that smoke. And a few guys proved me wrong. And then I'm like, okay, can that transfer from individuals getting ready to get down and get dirty to, can this now transform them into a connected team? And that's the one thing that I said yesterday, both days, after they won the first game.
Right.
Like, no, I'm not going to necessarily say that they're going to win the series. I'll say that now that I believe that they will, and hopefully they do. But after one game, I'm like, let me see. After two, you just hit on something I think is very important. They're snatching their soul.
Right.
Like, the New York Knicks, they looked tough and they looked poised. And the Celtics, the defending champions, looked soft and hesitant. And I don't think that's going to change the series.
I think doubt is now in the minds.
Yeah.
You saw it when they're shooting the basketball last night.
There's no question.
At home, doubting themselves. And you have to give the Knicks credit for playing some defense, but it wasn't like they were locked down on every three. There was some contested. And the Knicks closing, whether it's offensive plays or design, whatever you want to call it, closing offensively and then closing defensively, that has been the highest of levels. That is something that the Knicks have the Celtics clearly beat at.
Mm-hmm.
But psychologically, if Boston is reeling and where the Knicks now start to get confidence, beating them for the first time in game one, now doing the same exact thing in game two on their home floor, I would think psychologically there's a clear advantage. But I still have... The Celtics are going to be the toughest out here. We haven't seen it in the first two games. It's not a given that the Knicks are going to win game three. And maybe they do win game. Maybe they sweep. I mean, anything's possible when you're up 2-0. Who knows? But to me, it's still a series. The Knicks have won two. They have to win two more, and they're not going to be able to do it the way that they've won the first two, as far as I'm concerned.
No, things have to change. You just can't have these wild fluctuations in performance. It's not a script to win anything big. I totally agree. You know, you're falling behind by 20.
They were down 16 in the fourth.
It really is among the most amazing things I've ever seen. Like, I know we have to describe it, but it's almost impossible to describe what they put us through. It is absolutely amazing. But to your point, no, you can't keep winning like this. Now, there was a sequence, and I'll tell you, there's a little thing, but you know what really bothered me? One play bothered me last night, and I guarantee if I gave you five players as to which one it was, you wouldn't identify it. It was campaign. There is a point during, you know, well, multiple points, but the one stretch where Karl Anthony Towns in the second quarter was going absolutely bonkers. Honestly, I thought I was watching Patrick Ewing. Like, getting to the rim, you know, just deliberate and ones. He was nasty. He was feeling it. And campaign jacks up a 30-footer. Like, there are, and he bricked it. Like, that's the little things that could keep you from winning a championship. You got to feed the hot hand. You can't have guys disappear, you know, for chunks like Bridges, like OG. They are very imperfect. But what's not contestable is their heart. I just didn't think they had what they had.
Well, and what's a fact is that they're up two games to none, and they are two wins away from the Eastern Conference Finals. However, it has to happen. Now it has to happen, because now it would be a colossal disappointment if somehow, even though it's, you know, similar odds as far as who's favored to win the series now, even though we know Boston, how talented they are, they're the reigning champ, up two games to none coming back home, now it would be a major upset or disaster if the Knicks somehow lost this series. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ralph is in Franklin Square. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, yeah, so, guys, I need your help a little bit. I'm a huge Knicks fan. I'm so psyched by this. But I need your guys' emotional support with my New York pessimism. Like, as soon as we won last night, I thought of the last time we were up 2-0 against the defending champs, and that's the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bulls in 93. Like, I know...
And it's ain't the Bulls.
Don't have an end.
Tatum ain't Jordan, I can promise you.
Also, the Knicks
were at home. Like, my question is, like, what do you think of the talent gap between the Knicks and the Celtics compared to the Knicks versus the Bulls back then? Like, do we even have a talent gap?
Listen, Ralphie, here's what I think. I'm not trying to be – I don't care. That was 30 years ago. Here's what I know. And I said this yesterday. Like, I'll talk about the talent gap with these two teams now, not in the early 90s. Like, without Hauser,
right.
Without Hauser, who plays 21 minutes a game, shoots 42% from three, and takes six a night, that changes how they play. Without a bouncy and effective, on both sides, Kristaps Porzingis, that changes who they are. Now, last night was really the first, and Reggie said it, that Jaylen Brown looked bouncy. Now, he also became invisible after a really, really nice run. I think coming into the series, I think that the Celtics had much more depth. Knicks didn't get much from Deuce. I think Deuce had the 1-3.
He gave quality a few, you know, 17 minutes he played.
I think he had the 1-3, and obviously Mitch was plus 13 or plus 14. Mitchell Robinson, oh my God. So I think top to bottom, when both teams are fully healthy, I think you could probably say maybe the Knicks have more well-rounded players and maybe the Celtics have a deeper bench, whatever. But I don't think it really matters, because I think Jason Tatum right now is a fractured superstar. Like, his brain is bent. And I think that the Celtics are banged up. So the disparity in talent that once was a big Boston advantage, I don't see it right now.
Well, here's the thing. It was hypothetical dating back to last year about the Knicks and the Celtics, where the Knicks were at. Oh, they can't stack up against the Celtics. That's why I was excited to have this matchup. Finally, once and for all, let's see it. And so far, the gap is not as far as we thought maybe it was going to be, or as far as many people thought it was going to be. Now, with that being said, you mentioned Hauser. Porzingis, even though he played last night, he didn't really play. Like, Porzingis is not himself. He's not clearly not 100%. What did he play? 14 minutes?
7-8 points. He's diminished.
So he's not fully healthy. I think the Celtics have a better team, but I think the Knicks have enough talent. That's why you make those trades. You get the talent. Mikal Bridges' talent, both defensively and offensively, has been a difference maker even in just one quarter in these games, or an overtime period where he turns it on and he can light it up and come down and get on fire and knock down shot after shot after shot, and then go be a lockdown defender. That's why you make that move. Karl Anthony Towns, same thing. It doesn't have to be one guy every single night. It doesn't have to be Brunson. Imagine last year's team with Brunson having to score 40 a night for the Knicks to be successful. He hasn't done that. Brunson hasn't even been great in this series. He's been key at certain times, but he hasn't even been great. So I don't think we've seen the best of the Knicks, and they're still up 2-0. The thing is, we certainly haven't seen anywhere near the best of the Celtics either.
No, we haven't. But I'll tell you what, you know, the recipe, and again, they don't want to do this. This is just what happens, and they've got to find a way around this. Otherwise, they're not going to win a championship or keep moving on here. But if you fall behind by 20 at the Garden, it's a different energy. Now, not that it hasn't happened at all this year, but when you're getting your face kicked in front of 19,000 of your own, you know, every time you miss a shot, you get those groans, you get those collective sighs, you get the frustration. You can feel that. You don't feel that on the road. You're almost able to just kind of play through it because you don't have, again, almost 20,000 people dissatisfied with what you're doing in front of you because it's on the road.
And the Knicks have not been good at home.
They've been 27-14 during the regular season. They won four straight playoff games.
And even game one against Detroit, they got down big again. And this is the thing, we could say, well, it's not sustainable. Well, they've done it now three times, but they got down big game one, lost game two.
That was the campaign game.
Yeah, lost game two and lost game five.
Like, I know.
There's no automatics here. To me, I think if they are going to beat the Celtics, and I'm still not, as I said yesterday, until the final nail is in the Celtics' coffin, I'm not going to believe it actually happened. Can win? Absolutely. Felt that way coming. Yeah, they have a chance, have a shot. Up 2-0, certainly you feel good about it. I need to see them play a good game from start to finish and beat this team at home. Now, you go up 3-0, that to me is a different story, but I think it's going to... Look, we need to see the Knicks go out there and actually play a good game start to finish, specifically at home.
It's been fun. I know they can't do... You cannot do this in basketball. You can do this in boxing, where you come out, you know, in a 15-round fight, and you just dance around the ring, and you let the other guy who's bigger and stronger maybe tire himself out, and then, you know, final couple of rounds, you start, you know, hitting the body, the jab, dance, you know, and before you know it, the guy's on the canvas looking up. But it almost seems, and I know that they're not, it almost seems like that's the Knicks' philosophy. Let them throw their punches early. We're in better shape.
Right.
We have a slow heartbeat during the clutch, you know, the clutch moments here. And once we get to round 13, 14, 15, we'll find a way to get you on the mat. It's absolutely insane.
Well, they're built like that, and that's because of Tibbs and the way that they've been playing for 4 years, whatever it's been, under Tom Thibodeau. I know there's been different variations of this group, and this is the most talented of this group, but the fact that they play all the minutes that they do in the regular season, they're built for this. Does it mean they're going to win the championship? No. I mean, I still don't think so. I need to see it to believe it. I wanted to see this team fully healthy, which we never saw in the regular season. And I wanted to see them compete in the postseason when everything's ratcheted up. So far, so good. Even with some doubts along the way, game one against the Detroit, losing game two, home game five, you know, game five at home for the closeout, that really bothered me. Game six showed you something. And now obviously games one and games two, even though they haven't been great, to beat the Celtics twice without their A game, that's something I don't think anybody thought would be the case.
Well, I know we got a break here, but I'm, as much as I think I understated and underrated the Knicks, I think a lot of people now, I'm not so sure that people didn't overstate what the Celtics are.
I mean, were the champs. I
respect them, and they're not out until they are out. Right. I get it. They are the champs. They have earned that.
I mean, the series is far from over.
I'm not saying that. I'm not even looking to debate that now because I don't think that you're necessarily wrong. I got you. But do the Celtics look like a team whose heart right now reflects that of a champion? They're cracking in front of our eyes.
Remember,
melting when it matters.
Remember, too, there is a hunger factor. That's why I talk about psychologically. Celtics are the champs. They already won it. The Knicks are hungry for that. And you could see sometimes the difference, especially down the stretch, right? The reality is the New York Knicks in their ascension here along the way, building it from the first way that they did with Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, bringing in Jalen Brunson, trading for Kattenbridge. We know all the moves that they've made. Here we are, two wins away from their first Eastern Conference Finals appearance in, what, 25 years. So that's the reality. How we got here? What's going to happen? We'll figure all that out. But we are here where they are now, two wins away from their first Eastern Conference Final in 25 years.
Yeah, and if and when they get there, there's a pretty good chance they're going to be hosting that as well in terms of the home court advantage, because if the Pacers keep messing around, I mean, there's just so many things at play. It's impossible. And I know you want to live in the moment and you don't want to go too nuts with what's around the corner, but I got no problem admitting, like, I my mind's wandering. I mean, all right, I know the Celtics aren't dead yet. To take out a champion is going to be that stake in the heart.
Yeah.
And hopefully our Knicks can deliver that. And then who knows? Maybe the Cavaliers, although they are banged up, like the Celts a little bit, maybe more so, maybe they find a way to flip a switch, and maybe they come back and beat the Pacers, and maybe if the Knicks do advance, then they've got to play 4 of 7 in Cleveland. Maybe not. Maybe they play 4 out of 7 at the Garden against the Pacers, which will be revenge from last year, where we all know if the Knicks are healthy, they would have beaten the Pacers.
And this is sports. This is why you can't put a ceiling on certain things. Especially a team with as much talent as the Knicks have. They have enough talent to where they should be a competitor for an NBA championship.
100%.
Right. So that's the point.
We knew that's what was bothering me this year. You just nailed it.
Yeah.
I knew the talent was there, but that's why. And it was nitpicking, and not everybody wanted to hear it. And right now, it doesn't even seem accurate. But in real time, it was like, yes, they do have the talent. They got an all-star point guard, all-star big, two wings who could shoot, two wings who could defend. They've got Mitch. They've got this. They've got that. Well, then why the hell don't they look good against the elite teams? That was the root of my issue. And now they're starting to dispel those reservations.
Right. Now, again, with the circumstance there, they weren't fully healthy, whatever it may be. We don't need to rehash that because the regular season at this particular point means nothing. But it does go to show that this is sports. So whatever cap you may have on your team or whatever you think. See, to me, last year's team didn't have the talent. It didn't mean that it couldn't beat the Pacers if they were fully healthy, because I think that they could have. I don't think that they were going to get past the Celtics last year, even if they got to the Eastern Conference Final, because I didn't believe they had enough talent ultimately.
I agree with that.
So this year's talent is what we're seeing is the big difference with this team. The series that I keep thinking of, and maybe it makes no sense to anybody else but me, is the 1990 World Series, where the Reds swept
the A's.
Yeah. The Reds swept the A's.
Yeah.
Nobody expected the A's to lose the series, let alone get swept.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, forget about what we thought. Look at the odds. I know that doesn't mean definitively what's going to happen, but it is a good barometer for how far the disparity is in some people's mind about this series between the Knicks and the Celtics. So it should show you that this is why we love sports. Anything is possible, and this is a right now high-level upset so far through the first two games of this series.
Well, I wouldn't have thought of that. You know, it's interesting that you say that. I wouldn't have thought of that. And I feel it a little bit, but I would even say this. Like, it's even more in favor of, you know, how big a story slash surprise it is with the Knicks so far, because we've seen some monumental upsets in baseball. We've seen that. Baseball's different. Excuse me. In basketball, you generally have the better players. You advance in the series, so I know there's a lot to go, and I know we are attributing a lot of this to their heart, their character, and their poise, and their talent. But man, oh man, I mean, you're losing 84-68 with 8:40 to go in the fourth quarter. 8:40 to go, and the next bucket they score only because the Knicks either had a breakdown or they let Tatum go the entire distance for that dunk with 18.5 seconds to go. That's not just getting lucky. That is locking in and saying, you're not scoring.
Yeah. Twice.
Oh.
It's happened twice.
So, oh, man.
Like we talk about Eli Manning with the Super Bowls, one could be considered, all right, he got a little lucky. When you do that twice and go on the runs that he did, so it's two games. Series not over yet, but still two games. The Knicks have had the same formula so far, and they have a commanding 2-0 lead. Ryan is in Morristown. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What up, Ryan?
Good, good. You know, this team is just unbelievably enjoyable to watch, to root for. You know, it's awesome. Game one, I got my buddy Bob. He's pumping me for not going fishing during the striper on, choosing to watch the Knicks. But, you know, so easy to root for.
Yeah.
Amen. So I went to Villanova. I graduated with all these guys. You know, obviously great players, but also super solid people.
Yep.
But, you know, the experts, they all talk about the Celtics not playing well. And I agree with your guys' point. The Knicks, we have not played well either. I turned to my wife last night when Bridges got going in the fourth quarter, and I said, win or lose, this is a massive positive going forward, right? Bridges on offense, when he gets going, turns the Knicks into a different team. They will be very hard to beat. So him getting going in the fourth quarter,
how about he gets it going in the
positive that we won.
How about he gets it going in the first quarter, Ryan? And thank you for the call. I mean, this has been the MO of Bridges. Now, you appreciate what he's done down the stretch, overtime, fourth quarter. But last night, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't thinking about firing out a tweet. I was watching the game on delay, so I didn't want to do anything. I had to have my phone off. I had work last night because the Met game was late, so I was at SNY late.
Okay, so what time did you actually... Nick started at 7, 7.05 or so. What time did you start rolling?
I got home, I'd say, around 8.50.
Not knowing it at all. Like
correct.
Nice. That's tough, man. That's impressive. That's impressive.
I know. And you know what, though? I had my phone off, but then because I had to work, I was doing a hit from home for SNY.
Later on Sportsnet?
Yeah. Okay. So I had to communicate with the producers. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to read any text from my friends or you guys.
Yeah.
But one of the producers, I wanted to communicate and make sure he knew I was in touch with him. And in the fourth quarter, you know, whatever, I'm about to catch up, but the Knicks still down big in the game. And I happen to just scan a text from the producer. And he goes, all right, you'll be on live at 11 in the A block talking about the Knicks. And I see capital letters, win. And I was like, what?
And how much time is left in the game when
so
you see that text?
Like 7 or 8 minutes
you
ago.
You got to be kidding me.
I go, no way. And I was like, I didn't read the whole thing. I saw it and I just
You don't
down.
Have to.
Right, but I wasn't 100% sure that that's what it said. I thought it did. But I was still like, no way.
I think that could bother me, but that's actually also awesome. Only because you're down so much.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, no way. And then I watched it, and the Celtics kept missing, and I'm like, and then Bridges started hitting. I'm like, no way. Is this actually?
That's how you found out.
So it kind of ruined it a little bit. Yes, point is, in real time, I was about to rip Bridges. Like, dude.
Yeah, shoot.
Again.
Score.
Can you score up? Like, you can't be invisible for three quarters.
Yeah.
And then show up in the fourth. But I guess you can because it's worked twice so far.
Back to back. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's definitely some things that they need to clean up here. Like, you know, and I said this to Sal first couple of minutes. Like, you know, I get it. Campaign's going to play. He's going to have to take a few shots. And he's some of the little firepower we actually have off the bench. So I'm not yelling at him, you know, not to shoot. But when Karl Anthony Towns is just putting them in his back pocket, possession after possession, and ones, you know, floating to the rim. I mean, just looking like, honestly, like Ewing. I said, I felt like I was watching Patrick for 5 minutes, and then Campaign jacks up a shot with 4 seconds in. I'm like, no, like those are the things that can prevent you from winning a championship. And as for Mikal Bridges, I don't have an answer because it's not a lack of talent. If you lack talent, well, then you wouldn't be able to do what you do in the fourth quarter.
Bingo.
If you lacked heart or fortitude or sack or whatever, you wouldn't be able to do what you do in the fourth quarter. Like, the only thing that I do see this, like, I don't think he gets the ball enough in the first quarter.
To get
but
him
clearly,
going.
That's part of the plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, to get him going, yeah.
But that's what you have to love about the way this team is constructed. While it may not be a perfect fit in all areas, we know the defense with Mitch, with Anunoby, and with Bridges. And the way it's constructed is Anunoby could go nuts like he did in game one.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns could have an impact like he did in game two. Brunson at any particular point. Bridges at any...
Yeah.
Like, they've got multiple guys. Now, yeah, they don't have a great bench, but you don't need it when you got 4 out of the 5 starters that can just go nuts for any period of the game. That's why, especially in the NBA, the talent is so imperative. And the Knicks, obviously, have a lot of that. Tim is on Staten Island. What's up, Tim?
What's up, fellas? Love the show every day.
Thank you. We appreciate
Thanks, Tim.
Listen, Knicks fans, they don't know how to handle hope. It's not even a word in our vocabulary. We've been burned 1,000 times. You know what? Put that in the past, bro. This guy, Brunson, he's like our messiah. He was born. His father was on the team. He grew up at the Garden. He was born to bring us to the promised land. Listen, you want to wait for the piano to fall on your head? That's your prerogative. I'm believing. Let's go, Knicks.
I love it there, Timmy. I love the enthusiasm, but I don't think that's an accurate characterization of Knicks fans. You know, he just said Knicks fans can't handle hope. And we all know what he means by that, but I don't think that that's applied to the Knicks over the years. I mean, first of all, this entire century, outside of 4 or 5 years, they've been absolutely wretched. So we haven't even been toyed with our emotions in terms of possibly being good or possibly accomplishing something, because they've always been a lottery team most of the century. I think, you know, before Cohen bought the team, there was a lot of that with the Met fans. I know there's a lot of that with Jet fans for good reason. Like, certain franchises don't handle hope well. If anything, I think it's the opposite with the Knicks. Like, you give the Knicks fan a crumb, I mean, they're popping champagne in the round one.
All right, celebrating in the streets, climbing up the light poles after a round one series. For me, because I experienced it in the 90s, round one doesn't mean as much. And now it's been fun after 20 years, like you said, of futility.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to have the Knicks relevant. But, you know, I wasn't going to throw bouquets after winning another first round series. That's great. That's the expectation now. Second round against the Celtics, winning one game to me wasn't enough. Winning two in their place, now I could understand really getting excited about it. Not to the point where I'm saying the series is over, but if you're not enjoying this, you're not even
a sports fan. Yeah. If you cannot enjoy this, what are you doing? There's nothing else to me. What's going on?
I do proceed with caution, and maybe that's what he's talking about, the fans. I'm not waiting for the piano to fall on my head, but I proceed with caution, especially based off of the way that the games have played out. There would be a difference, BT, if the Knicks... forget about even being up big in these games, but we're playing clean start to finish, back and forth, and winning these games. Getting down 20 to a point where I almost shut the game off in game one, getting down big again yesterday to where I expected that, okay, well, that's what I expected to happen going in, and then it was happening. I didn't expect it to change in the fourth quarter. So those things were shocking wins, the way that they won them. Do I believe that that's sustainable? In my heart, I don't. But maybe they play a better game in game three at home.
And also, real fast, if their talent is, you know, as good as we think, then they should find a way to avoid falling into these massive holes and set a different tone.
The thing is, they even did this against Detroit.
I know.
Game one getting down and then having to do all that they did with campaign going nuts to win that game, missing an opportunity to game five to put them away. Like, this Knicks team is playing with fire. Now, they're up 2-0. They're 2 wins away from the Eastern Conference Finals, so you can be excited about it. But the more you play with fire, the more likely you're going to get burned. And I think this is, I'm still not putting the fork in the Celtics just yet.
Understood, but is it a, and we can get to this coming up. Like, I'm curious, their lack of quick starts and good performances early in games, is it a lack of focus? Is it too many guys trying to eat and not enough guys, you know, actually being able to eat? Is it how they start the game from a coaching perspective? I don't know. But yeah, the common theme is, they are very comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's good until it's not.
Right. It's good because you're going to need that at certain points. Is it sustainable is the biggest
question. Probably the most important development for the Yankees last night. Devin Williams actually looked good. Finally.
Well, he was on the brink, too, of getting booed off. I mean, that might have been the point of no return right there. If he didn't get that job done last night. You're right. It is not a big baseball day, but I will say this. He's coming.
Devin?
He's coming. Devin Soto.
He's starting to get warm.
He's starting to get warm.
I know he is.
About
I know
a week away.
Just in time for that little Yankee showdown. And bring it on.
Now I'm really hoping that the Knicks sweep or beat the Celtics in five, so I don't have to worry about it going to game. I don't want to be at the Met-Yankee game on that Friday night.
Oh, you see, now you're conflicted like I was yesterday.
I mean, there is conflict there, but I mean, I made the commitment, and I also want to be there for Soto's return. I think it's going to be great, so it sucks to have to miss game six. But now, at least with the Knicks up 2-0, there's at least legit hope that there might not be a game six in favor of the Knicks. Going in, it was thinking, maybe the Celtics win.
Maybe
five.
They squeeze out six, win twice, and they get to a game six. Yeah.
But
not to derail it here, because I know the Knicks fans are fired up, but do you think you'll remember Soto's return to Yankee Stadium? He played here 1 year. Now, I know it's bigger than that, the Yankee mythic. Or let's say the Knicks clinched that night and move on to the East. Like, what are you going to remember more?
Well, but you're looking at it from the Soto Yankee perspective. He played there 1 year. It's not. I'm looking at it from the.
Well,
this is
why I framed it my way.
This is a big.
Otherwise, I would have known your answer.
BT and Sal, all the fails. Get back to the next calls. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT and Sal, how we doing, boys?
What's up, Eric?
Oh, man, what a Knicks day. It is absolutely incredible. And talk about conflicted. You know, I'll get to that real quick. But Mikal Bridges, Sal, I was in the same boat you were. I was ready to light him up in the second quarter. Like, can somebody not don't pass him the ball. Don't let him shoot. And then all of a sudden, fourth quarter comes. I'm like, give it to Mikal. Let him shoot. It's unbelievable. The guy is absolutely crazy. The whole thing is nuts. And yeah, conflicted. Last night, I mean, BT, you'll get this. I was at my son's Little League game, 11-year-olds.
Nice.
You know, playing, you know, fifth, sixth graders. It was awesome.
Uh-huh.
But what was the tough part, it was a late game because of all the rain and everything else. So we're at 7:30 game. So we're there watching the end of this game. And we're like, we can't leave. We can't leave. So we got one phone with the Knicks game on, 2 minutes left, and 25 11-year-olds all huddled around watching the Knicks close out this game. It was incredible.
Wow.
Everybody was going nuts.
I thought you meant you were watching with the dads. The kids joined it. That's phenomenal, man. That's all the time. You'll never forget that. So I had my daughter's dance last night, right? You and I were talking about what you had to juggle and with SNY and stuff. So the dance was at 6, and it went to 8. And it was awesome. It was really nice, right? So, you know, I record the game. I tell everybody who I know in town. Like, there's some people I just don't know, and I'm cordial, but I just don't have conversation. I'm not worried about them saying, yo, the Knicks are down 10 or the Knicks are up 12. There's probably about 50 people. I got to plant the seed. Hey, don't tell me, please. Right. No one told me. I left like 10 minutes before it ended because my wife was there. She was on the committee.
Right.
So I knew she was taking my daughter home. Because I did the last daddy-daughter dance, and she's like, go. I'm like, I'm going anyway, but it's nice to get the official green light. Bye-bye. Yeah. And I got home, took off my suit, sat down at around 8:15.
Okay.
Did not have a clue what the score was. Net at 16-4, as you recall. Watching every single, I didn't fast-forward anything. I'm like, we're going to get smoked tonight. And I was even starting to rationalize in my mind, like, yeah, can you really fault them? You know, the energy they expended in game one, come back to the Garden Saturday, 1-1, then they won.
Did you catch up in real time?
I did catch up in real time, yes.
That's what sucked about my situation last night. You know what's funny? A lot of people going through this, and then it's going to be the same thing Saturday afternoon because it's right smack in the middle of the day, 3:30. Now, I don't believe at this particular, and it's also Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Whole nother situation there. Mm. I don't believe I have any commitments at this particular point at 3:30 Saturday, so I'll be able to lock in. But it is smack dab in the middle of the freaking day.
Lucky you.
You got games.
I'll be in Staten Island. That's my son's team, yeah. Sure.
And then what? How are you going to play that?
That's going to be tough because, you know, that's tough because there's so many people there. And there's so many BT and South
almost
fans and so many FAN fans. I'm not going to sit in my car. I'm going to watch the game.
I know.
Now, I don't sit near the dugout. I kind of sit down the left field line with a few dads that I usually hang with. So, I don't know. That's going to be, I don't know how I'm not going to check my phone to see what's going on. And then, of course, get home, record it, and watch it. But that's going
to
be a tough one.
I'm going to go to game four either way. And now, I'm even more excited because it's either going to be Knicks looking to go up 3-1, or I'm going to bring my broom to the World's
Broom
Most
time.
Famous. Yeah, so that's great. But then again, if there is a game six, there's going to be the conflict with the Mets-Yanks. Hey, Knicks playoffs should take priority, but there's a lot. You know, this is a big sports week coming up next week with the Subway Series, Soto return, Mets, Yanks, both, you know, playing well to start the season.
I got a question for you here. So, you know how sometimes when people call up, and this is not to pat ourselves on the back, so I don't mean this at all. This is just to get to a point. You guys sound like, you know, Mike and Chris back in the day. We get that a lot, right? Because we're old school sports and we get after it, we yell, we're passionate. If we get to this point, I remember Mike and Chris used to go out and watch those Nick Pacer series.
Yeah.
To
Indiana.
Yeah, we'll fly. See if we get a little something with sales. BT and Sal.
What are you crazy?
Fly. What do you mean?
Couldn't even get a spring training trip. I'm in.
Oh, I know. Just like you were for spring training, until it got shot down.
I'm in.
Even Boone's like, come on, man. Get you guys on the field. Nope, can't go.
I think the way to do that would we have to put the bill on our own.
Well, then no, I'll never do that. No, that will never happen.
Come on.
No,
what about just the fans?
No, that's a precedent that I just don't. I don't appreciate that. No, I will not do that. I won't do that.
Jeez.
I'm not going to pay for myself to go and work.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
By the way, you think Mike and Chris back then had any conflicts with games, with the kids, or anything else?
No, they had that. By the way, not only did they not have to pay their own way, they probably got about a $20,000 talent fee just to go.